This is Pillow Talk, brought to you by Killer and a Sweet Thing. I'm Eileen Kelly.
And I'm Jacob Safarian. On this podcast, we normalize sexual experiences by allowing the people who live them to speak for themselves.
On today's episode, we're joined by Dylan, a young Black queer man who chooses not to date white people. Today's episode was recorded at the Canal Street Market. Welcome to Pillow Talk. To begin, could you give our listeners a little overview of your dating experience?
Okay, so I'm a native New Yorker, so I've been dating up until a certain point only New Yorkers. I was talking about this with someone last night, actually. Now I'm mostly dating non-New Yorkers now that I'm over the age of 18. When I was younger, I'd say, like any darker-skinned Black man, I've had my internalized colorism issues, so I only was really interested in men that did not look like me. So I really was into, like, fair-skinned Latino dudes, white guys, light-skinned Black guys for a long time. But I don't want to act like attribute my growth to college, but over that period of time, that's when I just started to dissect my own views upon myself and my reasoning for dating how I did, and then started really just opening up, like, really men of color exclusively. The transition happened just because of my previous interactions with white gay men, whether it's virtually or physically. That's why it's now I mostly date. Not mostly. I really do date men of color every once in a while. Maybe try a white guy. Maybe I know him and I'm like, he's a nice guy. Let's give him a shot. Or I'm at the Eagle and somebody's looking cute and I'm horny. So
the Eagle, quite the establishment. So can you talk a little bit about some of these experiences with white gay men that turned you off?
Some of my earliest experiences with, like, queer men or gay men specifically was via the apps. So just getting message like, where my race is right away bought up. Like, oh, you're cute for a Black guy. I'm only in the Black guys. Or just, I'm now, as of lately, with threesomes and open relationships being more of the norm, I'm often asked about cuckolding. It's always like a white couple. It's the fantasy of big Black, dark-skinned Black guy and white guys getting impaled.
So do you feel like fetishized ever?
Yeah. Maybe getting a little sidetracked, but that's why I do feel uncomfortable dating and having sex with white men for the most part now. Because when you know you're a fetish and you're not, like, necessarily into the fetish itself, it's like, okay, so you don't really value me as a person. Or you're wondering, do you value me as a person? Do you respect me? Do you just, like, I'm just a warm hole or warm pole for you?
Yeah. So
it's not a good feeling at all, and I don't enjoy it. And it's something that does make me uncomfortable.
Absolutely. You spoke a little bit about your treatment on virtual apps. And for our listeners who don't know, I think you're mentioning Grindr and Tinder.
For me, I use Grindr and Jacked. Jacked is like the Black gay dating app, or gotcha. Black Latino.
I've never heard of that.
You would be on it.
Yeah. So is it for gay men?
Yeah. Okay. Specifically gay men and like Grindr trans women as well. But predominantly, it suffers some of the same issues of many other apps with queer men on it, with hyper-masculinity and whatnot. But that's not what we're here to talk about today.
No. And so that app was kind of like perhaps created to get away from sort of like the fetishization that, like, people of color face on, like, Grindr and Tinder. Just for listeners who don't know, it's pretty common, unfortunately, to see on apps like Grindr a white user say something as blatantly bigoted in their bio as, you know, no fats, no femmes, whites only, or reversely, like a fetish of something like being like, oh, Latin men to the front.
Yeah, you've explained it very perfectly. I just really don't understand it. I never did understand, the prejudice of just no fats, no femmes, no Asians, no Blacks, no whatever. Just listening it down the line, everything pretty much like at Build-A-Bear Workshop, you're trying to create your perfect man, but it's like, he doesn't exist. What are you doing?
Can we unpack that a little bit, all three of us? The difference between preferences and then when does it cross over to being a prejudice?
For me, I feel as though the crossover point is when the intent of it, like, fine, I'm into men with full lips. That's my thing. Like, I don't date anybody who doesn't have full lips. For me, I believe it goes beyond different ethnicities and races, and I view that as a preference. Your interest in a person isn't based upon their culture, or it's not as tied to the culture associated with the person or the people of that color or look or whatever. But prejudice is when you're not into a person because of the culture that they come from and what that culture may represent to you as a person. At least that's how I feel about it.
No, I think that's very well put. And so do you remember the first time that in a sexual setting you were made to feel other based on the color of your skin?
When I was younger and on the apps, a lot of the attention I'd be getting were from older white men, I noticed, and I was into other younger guys. Other guys, just period, young looking guys of any and every ethnicity and race, no so much preferences as much as maybe some others maybe had. And like the guys I'd be into were not into me, but the only guys into me were like older white men. So I was like, okay, these are my options. Let's go with the best of the bunch.
What were some of the things they would say to you that like were like red flags?
I think I've said some before, like, I'm only into black guys. You're very cute for a black guy. I'm
wow,
not
they would
normally
say that to you?
Into black guys. Yes. And it's like, oh, these are supposed to be compliments. You're supposed to make you feel good. And at some point in time, they did, just because I was a kid, like young with low self-esteem. But it's now something like when I hear it, it just like
irks you.
Instantly like you're yeah. not getting talked to any further beyond this point.
Did you ever question it with them directly? I mean, you were young. You're saying that.
Well, I've had experiences more recently where maybe something of the sort is said. And I do try discussing it with somebody. So he lives down the block from me and in like this new apartment building that they've built. And so I started talking to my grinder. We were talking and face his profile. I enjoyed the conversation up until he sent me a picture of his white guy. And I was like, we've already talked. You're not particularly my type, but I've enjoyed the conversation up until this point. I'll keep on talking. Mm-hmm. Then the conversation starts veering a little more sexual while talking, because on my profile, it says I'm verse, his, it says he's a top. That's when, as we're talking, he's like, oh, black guys, I don't let white guys top me. That's why I only say I'm a top, because I only let like men of color, black guys, black and Latino dudes just know how to fuck. And thinking again, it's a compliment. And it's like, I'm like, do you like, you're just now, I actually did say, I'm gonna like paraphrase it, but I did say like, you're making me uncomfortable. I told him I was no longer interested in having sex with him just because of how he's describing men of color and how the difference of what he's saying. Like I tried explaining the difference of how he's saying it to me, thinking it's a compliment, but it's not, and I'm not interested anymore. And then he comes back saying like, oh, I didn't say black guys, I said men of color, like just trying to correct me for semantics when he still was wrong, because I still referred to people of color the same way he referred to mm-hmm. made the generalization of people of color same exact way he did. But he then wanted to correct me as if I did make the specification of blackness, and just trying to invalidate what I just said. And I was like, okay, cool, blocked. And yeah. a couple minutes later, from a new profile, I was like, why'd you block me? I liked you. But up until that point, I was just like, I'm not interested for how you're talking about men of color.
And he just couldn't understand that what he said was inappropriate.
Again.
it exhausting?
Yeah, it's my closest comparison to, I guess, like a more general feeling of this, how women feel just constantly being harassed at all, like by just every way from men. It's like, granted, I don't have it to the same capacity. And it's, nowhere near to the same capacity, but it's still like my closest example of like how other people may feel about it. And just, it is, sometimes it's a constant harassment. Sometimes I'm out and about, I did mention, I've been to bars like the Eagle, and bars like that, it's all about like unspoken communication. And like, you're making a lot of eye contact to figure out whether or not you're interested in the person or not. Maybe like caress their shoulder or their chest, whatever, but not like right away, just trying to finger them or grab their dick or whatnot. I often notice bars like that, white men are some more times than not, because it happens from all people, like people are going to violate your space regardless. But more times than not, at least in my experience, it has been like white men I've noticed are the ones a little more forthright with just trying to take ownership of my body in spaces like that.
And do you feel like that's because they have less consequences, you know?
Oh yeah, it's a world made to cater to white, them. Yeah. To like white heterosexual or heterosexual passing men. So if you're raised your whole life thinking you can do whatever, not thinking, like doing whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want, why would that stop anytime, any soon, like anyway?
I'm wondering, in these moments, I mean, obviously it's gonna be different when you're out at a bar or club. Mm. You're just gonna be like, whoa, get off of me.
Yeah.
But do you ever feel like you take a moment to teach or talk about this with them? Or like,
or is
you
that
talk
not
about
your responsibility, you think?
No, it's not your responsibility, but I'm just wondering if you ever feel like...
Out and about in public, no, because I'm feeling violated. I want to get away from whoever is making me feel as though I'm being violated. But I'm a little more able to do so if I have the time on it, like digitally, if we're talking over an app or mm-hmm. messaging or whatever. But in person, no, I'm thinking about like my safety and just like, I want to get the fuck away from you. You've made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If you're already like violating me in a sexual way, who's to say you're not going to be aggressive any further if I'm not any further interested? So that's my thinking. So out and about in public, not so much. Something I'm trying to have a teaching moment.
Yeah.
How prevalent are these negative experiences? Have all of your sexual experiences with white men been negative?
No, not at all. Not all have been negative. It's like when you fuck up in school or something and you're like constantly having anxiety because you made a mistake that one time. And hey, it's life. Mistakes happen. not every experience I've had with white men is uncomfortable, like has been an uncomfortable experience, nor has it always been bad. It's just the bad ones are bad things are always are much memorable, more memorable, and that's what around. You kind of hold on to. I think over the phone when Jacob was like talking to me a little bit about like both for our interest in having me on the show, I mentioned like I do try it. Like I maybe will hook up or go on a date with a white guy if like, hey, things get to that point, and like whether it's the date or the hookup. Man, I was hooking up with a white guy more recently, and he was a nice guy. We've talked for many months over the Grindr, well, several apps. Our scheduling never worked up, and then also my hesitation. Mm-hmm. But one day, decided to hang out, and we were just like smoking and talking, hanging out at his place, and I had a great time. It got sexual, and the whole time we were having like fooling around, I was enjoying it, but it's just like, it's kind of hard to keep a boner when you're like wondering the whole time, like, do you like me for me? Or if you like just like black guys?
Oh, so you were afraid that you were like his attraction to you was based on a fetish.
Yeah.
As opposed to something genuine.
Yeah. Like it's not fun to be in the middle of sex doubting yourself. And mm-hmm. like it just really takes away from the fun. Like, yeah, the fun of it.
Do you have those conversations with them ever? Like if you were to progress with this guy specifically, would you talk to him about that?
I would have to if this is somebody who I do genuinely care for and wish to like have a real serious relationship with. It's something that has to be addressed.
If you bring up this conversation, how do you know that, I mean, he's being genuine or he's liking you for the right reasons? Like, can you walk us through that conversation?
Like, I didn't have like the full-fledged conversation in this example with the guy, but prior to like, while just talking, I did happen to find out he went to a predominantly black institution and has mostly black a friend group and studied African-American studies or something like that. I can't remember, but just pretty much like, according to him, well-versed in like black culture. And
he said that to you? He's like, I'm society. Well-versed?
No, not in those words, no.
I was like, that's the gall.
Yes, because if you said it in that way, and it's like,
you'd be like, bye. No,
okay, you're next. Trying to earn brownie points. And that's really what a short, like, again, I wasn't sure if it was like, okay, this is genuine, like genuinely how he feels about life and understands like, just systemic oppression and things that other communities of color, like communities of color, will have to face in society, American society.
So if you dated a white person or like this white guy had only his past partners slept with, if he said he only dates black guys, would that be a red flag to you?
I have a friend with benefits and we happen to find out that we've both hooked up with this same white guy. And I've also found out he has mostly black friend circle here in New York City because he's not even from here. Me and the other black guy who also slept with him that I'm sleeping with as well, we were discussing just like how it's kind of odd to when you start noticing that and just discussing how like it's not creepy when you know somebody has like a diverse friend circle period in life, but when their friend circle kind of gravitates only towards like one race or ethnicity, and it's like, are you trying to like just become these people? Are you trying to like leech onto their culture? Or do you genuinely care for them and know about them? So that's like kind of what our discussion was, but in like a goofy, corny, like not as serious as that, but it did make me think a little less of him, but did make me wonder like, okay,
question is
do
intentions.
You like me or do you just like black men, period?
Yeah. And so how often are you having these discussions with your, black friends?
I wouldn't say all the time just because... there's so many other problems to discuss with your friends, but it's something that does come up, especially like when we discuss dating. But granted, for the most part, like my other black queer friends, most of us don't use apps, or when we do use apps, it's apps catering specifically to our niche market. So
interesting.
So like that's... you get like way less of maybe like cyber harassment, and granted, you still get it, but the motivations are different.
Things have gotten so bad on regular dating apps that are unfiltered that y'all have felt the need to seek out alternative modes to meeting men.
Yeah, this is not anything new. Like the app I said earlier, Jag, that's been around for almost maybe like it got started maybe like a year or two after Grindr got started. It's like, I wouldn't say just as old, but it is just, it's been around for as long. So it's not as if this is any like a new subculture.
It's
something well used.
And I'm curious, something that's come across in, my discussions as a queer man is, do you find that people pin an unfair like sense of masculinity to your identity in the sense of like, do people always expect you to top based on a certain thing? Is that something you've come across?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's not, I always wonder if it's like, is it because I'm like is it because I'm black? Or is it because I'm like a darker skinned black guy? Is it because like I'm bigger in like height and build? Is it like just maybe like personality? I don't maybe don't have like the highest pitch voice or like a hella deep one. So like I want, yeah, I do wonder if it's like any specific one of those things that leads to people believing that like I'm top because I'm first. So what? I like having like, why not do it all? Mm-hmm. But it is uncomfortable being like pigeonholed into like one sexual position when
just sexual because identity.
Yeah. Just because of how somebody views you and just wants you to fulfill more times than not a fantasy or an ideal or a role. Because more times than not, like being a fetish is not really about the, well, how I view it at least, the person or the object of desire isn't necessarily, they're not a person, they're an object. And anything can fill this role as long as they fit X, Y, and Z of your parameters.
Mm-hmm. And it's something white gay men just don't have to go through. I know that I'm not. Other than presenting femininely and people mm-hmm. assuming I'm a bottom, it's just something I don't have to factor in, you know? And it's one less obstacle for me when I meet a guy, you know, it's something that I don't have to think of. So therefore it's a privilege.
Are there certain things about your experience you think a white partner will just never understand? And I'm going to guess there are. And if you could maybe walk us through some of those things just for our audience.
Okay. In my experience, while dating non-black people or just being around other non-black people, like in high school, I would often be followed around stores while my friends, all the non-black people, were stealing things. And just understanding that like you're always being watched by somebody somewhere, whether it's they're thinking you're a threat or like they're trying to perceive whether or not and how much of a threat you are. And I'm not saying that's everywhere you mm-hmm. go, but yeah, I was like in therapy. My therapist was like, why are you always like living like, you always have to be watching over your shoulder and like in a constant state of fear. And I was like, well, I live in like a world that's not necessarily built for me and not really trying to care for me. But so just kind of understanding that just navigating through the world, we are going to be navigating in different ways. Well, things I'm wary and hope a partner would understand or I would be taking the time to explain if I do view them as a serious partner is like, how that may be different, how if they are a white person, I can only hope that going to college, you've already had like some critical thinking about like your privilege, your whiteness, your whether or not your gender plays into that and other things like that. So hopefully I'm not having like just like teach basic things like that from the start, but just furthering that like discussion and understanding that, okay, I'm a gay man, so I'm more than like, I'm going to be dating more male or male presenting people. So with understanding that and they're not being black or specifically them being white, understanding how we're out and about, different people will be making different assumptions about us and about them and about me and how those assumptions are going to be very different. Well, could potentially, depending upon where we're at, be different.
You want them to acknowledge that.
Yeah, because like I've had friends go on like little vacations with significant others. Maybe they are the same race, maybe they're different races, but not anybody with like a white significant other. I'll mention that. That's part of it because they're maybe going to the South and experience like blatant racism, not even just homophobia, but just blatant racism because of that. And say if they did have a white partner, and just like if I were to have a white partner and we would go somewhere where I'm going to be just treated with racism, understanding how they can help me and understanding what's happening and why it's happening and not just making it seem as though I'm being absurd because what's like it's
validating
annoying being
your
like
experience.
Validating my experience and just having someone assure you like, no, I'm not wrong, they're wrong, and like that's what a partner should be doing, right?
Yeah. And have you had like white guys you've been with sort of like pedal back on you, but like, no, what I said wasn't racist, or no, I, you know, didn't mean it that way, and try to then use that as a way to trump your feelings over a situation?
And not too often, just because like when I was younger, I was having sex with a white guy topping me, and everything about me was like, oh, this black ass, black, but, and I was just like, I purposely pooped on him after that. I felt it coming. I could have stopped it. And I was like, no, you're going to get that. And kind of that's how I ended the situation.
That's revolution.
An unprepared young bottom is like, why not? It's my only power in the situation.
I relate to that. And I'm wondering, it's not terribly uncommon across different cultures and backgrounds to hear like Greeks are very territorial. They don't want you to marry someone who isn't Greek. Within the Jewish culture, people who have a very devout faith don't want you to marry outside of the faith. Did those conversations ever come up in your childhood about dating someone outside of your race with either your parents or your peer groups?
It wasn't like it was really explicit conversations, but yeah, like every other like ethnicity and race, they're going to be like, we want you to stay like with our people, quote unquote our people, but my family's African-American and Trinidadian. So I've had a family men say like, oh yeah, like get a Spanish girl in New York. The common vernacular for like Latino people, the Spanish in New York. Don't ask me why. That's just the slang, the colloquialism. But men in my family, like, oh, want get like a Spanish woman. She'll do this. She'll do that. Just more so about the catering subservitude and just degradation of women. But I've also had female family members saying how like every black man always ends up with like a white woman or a light-skinned woman or a Latino woman or things like that. So just really like every other race, we all have heard in one way or another that like stay with your own kind. I mentioned earlier how I was like very anti-black and like in my, like around high school, college time. And some of the people I was hanging out with then were also black men were all, and also anti-black and discussing like our interest in like fair skin like black men or Latino women, like Latina diverse groups, so guys and girls and white girls and guys. And with those discussions, that's when I started noticing like, oh wow, I sound like a fucking dickhead, and like started really trying to like change those views.
Yeah. And was it difficult to kind of unlearn those ingrained biases?
Yeah, like it's like all you've known for all your life, so why wouldn't it be like a struggle to try and change something like that?
You said in the beginning of our discussion that you used to predominantly only date more light-skinned men, Latino men, white men. Mm-hmm. And so was there a period where it switched? Like, was there a specific incident, a specific person?
It wasn't like a specific incident or person. It just, after a bad breakup, I'm just reflecting upon like my dating history and my thoughts going into that relationship and just how I've been feeling and whatnot before that relationship, during and after. And just during that period of solitude, that's when I just started thinking, like I gotta start changing shit.
Yeah.
I'm curious, knowing the differences in lived experiences, do you think it's possible for you to ever engage in an interracial relationship? Or?
Granted, I do think like with dating a white guy, that's something I'm not going to be in a rush to with for friends.
Yeah.
I honestly feel as though I've discussed with other friends of color, like friends of color, that if any of us were to date white guys, it would be like we'd know them already. And so that's kind of the vetting process. Because if you know someone and are actually a good friend with them, you know how they think and feel about things. And if we do decide to progress from there, that's how I would do it.
But it would be someone that you know already.
Yeah, well, that's specifically for white guys. For other men of color, I just kind of treat it how I normally date. It's just like you get 3 dates. If during any of those 3 dates, after the 3 dates, I don't want to date you anymore, not dating you anymore. And granted, I've had dates with, like, I once went on a date with an Asian guy. But while we were talking over whatever, everything was going good. We enjoyed the conversation. And then when we met up in person, that's when I find out that he's only into black guys, only ever dated black guys before, and just some other of my big red light, yeah,
red
warning,
flags,
red flag, warning sign things. And so it's like, it's not like it's something I only get from white men, but it's something that just exists, period, while dating. So with white guys, I'll admit I keep them a little more at arm's length, but yeah. Friendship, I'm always open for friendship from anybody. But
with that particular man, did you just leave it at that and walk away, or did you ask him, like, does he get fetishized as an Asian man, like, you know?
Not so much, because yeah. It was like an awkward, it was a first date and it was already a very heavy conversation. I was finding out about him being like raped and some other horrible things about him, so I was really just like, I was kind of just like kind of in shock and just kind of mm-hmm. quiet and listening. I felt just very uncomfortable to go any deeper into like the one thing that I did, not the one thing, but one of the things he did say that did kind of offend me, when I was like, but I feel like I know too much about you and your trauma. Like, you've been very traumatized, and I felt sorry for him, but I just felt very uncomfortable to progress
fair.
In conversation any further.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also curious, when I think about like looking on these gay dating or sex apps, what more could Grindr be doing to make sure this hateful language isn't so common on their platforms?
I don't think it really is like something Grindr can be doing. Unfortunately, it's like the culture as a whole, and it's not going to change until society changes. With a little shift in society, I've noticed like on apps, like, you're not seeing so much like no fats, no femmes, no Asians, no blah, 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 blah. Not as much. The people still maybe hold the same exact sentiment, but they're not, at least now,
so outright.
Yeah. I've noticed a decrease in that in a way. You still see certain things that are uncomfortable, but
And so where do you think this comes from, that these, you know, queer men are on these dating apps that they're so open about, you know, listing those things that maybe we don't see on other platforms.
I feel as though it's just like men are like so crass, like just cut to the chase. Like, I want to know this. I want that. It,
like, I said earlier, it's like
you're building a boy. Like, yeah. I want the perfect Ken doll to satisfy all my needs.
This comes up often in like my conversations in my queer circles about like, you know, me and other queer people who identify as men and were conditioned and raised as men. It's like, what about the society's sexual attitudes infected us? And I just always think about like on these apps, there's something so aggressive about how even with other queer men, you know, we hate on straight guys all day long. But at the end of the day, sometimes I find myself and others still speaking in a way that is very centric sexually. And like we expect pleasure to come to us, which just seems to be a huge thread in history of just men expecting things and men demanding things. Mm-hmm. And like this weird power play. I don't know.
You couldn't have said it any better. It was very well said. Yeah. So much of like heterosexual sex is about the man's need and like women not coming many times. So why wouldn't that transfer over into like gay relationships or queer relationships where, yeah, it's still two men. The man that feels as though he's the most man or the top or whatever, however one may feel about it and like the title of that. But you know what the role may entail.
Yeah. And a man never like a gay man on Grindr or whatever the app, not thinking anything's wrong with like saying these are my preferences. But not taking I don't know. It's so weird to navigate that.
It's almost like these queer men are putting themselves in a heteronormative.
They want the entitlement and the privilege.
Yeah.
So they're going to carry it over in
mold,
all aspects.
Almost.
Yeah,
almost like, you know, with a top and a bottom and these.
Yeah, it's very
like,
that.
Roles. Yeah. Okay, so I have a question for you. Yeah. Reverse racism doesn't exist. And I can explain that a little bit to our listeners who maybe haven't heard that or don't agree with that. So the definition of racism is prejudice or discrimination directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is superior, which is why reverse racism couldn't exist, because there's no way in society or in the history of culture that people of color have ever been told that their race is superior socially to white people. So how would you respond to someone who says your decision to not date white people is in fact quote unquote racist or reverse racist?
Because I've been told that before. Like, I usually counter with like, I'm not basing my preference upon like your physical characteristics. I'm basing it upon like just the societal oppression that my ancestors have faced since coming to this continent and feeling uncomfortable about that. Hundreds of years of oppression doesn't equate to like me not wanting to date you and feeling uncomfortable, like second guessing, honestly coming down to second guessing myself while like engaging with a person. Like this is my insecurity and I'm fully aware of that, and I'm not gonna feel bad about placing that upon somebody else. And like, if it's racist, I'm sorry. But it's not.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not going to argue with the person. I'll tell you like, hey, you feel that way. You're allowed to feel that way. But I'm not going to tell
you. This is my sex life and I'm entitled to what?
I can fuck, sleep with, date whoever I want to.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's true. How has the current political, I mean, it's been such a shit show for, it feels what, 2 years now? Yeah. How has the current political climate affected your decision to not date white people? If at all.
I'm not going to say it's entirely part of the reason, but it is a small part of the reason, just thinking about it. Just like how when you get the poll results and like demographics wise, people who in like maybe places that you maybe thought were once very democratic and liberal, leaning a little more towards the blue. And then you get the results of like X, Y, and Z people, men, ethnicities, blah, blah, blah. And it's like the people who you think are supposed to be the allies, like white, cisgender, young, democratic liberal people are the ones who like still like maybe they may be registered that way to vote, but sometimes in some elections in some places like the swing votes, stuff like not swing votes, but like they're changing your vote and not really their votes doesn't really reflect how they're preaching to you to your face. And just understanding that, yeah, I'm fully aware, like I mentioned earlier, how on the apps I don't see as much like blatant like checklists now, just because it's not like so outright, it's still people feel this way. And I hate like having to remind myself that, but living in a world where you're constantly reminded that people feel some type of way about you just because of the color of your skin.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you think about how people are also thinking about like how the different ways people are thinking about you in that way.
Do you feel like, so you just have like a general distrust of
non-people
of color? Can I say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes. Not. I don't want to say entirely, but I do feel as though like I'm a little more hesitant until getting to know. Like, I'm not out here assuming all white people are like evil and trying to kill me and destroy me.
Not, and it's based on your experience, though, too. You know, you've definitely had your sample of like dating white men, and reflective of like, stop me if I'm wrong, but it seems like your experience predominantly has been negative.
Yeah.
So it's like very fair for you to then take that and say, I don't want to continually put myself
in a situation
where I open myself up to criticism and racism and fetishization and everything that goes along with that.
And I could see where it's almost would be more exhausting when it's kind of brushed under the rug and it's not even so blatant. Mm-hmm. So it's, I'm like, if it's coming blatant, like, you know what it is and you know to walk away. But like you were saying, like getting gaslit or like, oh, you're being dramatic. I didn't mean it like that. I meant it as a compliment. Would seem so just like heavy.
Yeah, it is. And like thinking about that, that does like contribute to like the fear and uncomfort of like trying to engage with white men. And I've said it before, like it really, I'm not going to not engage with a white person, period. Like if it's for friendship and just getting to know a person, sure. But as a romantic partner, I just feel as though, because like societally, I'll just put so much pressure on love and like our partner. If I'm going to be taking the time for that, I want to take the time to like vet you. And that's for anybody, but of any race, but for a white guy, it's going to
take a little longer.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And for anybody listening and thinking like, oh, I don't understand that. You know, I think it's really important to take a step back and think about your privilege. Like
even that's what this conversation is really about. Is acknowledging your privilege.
Yeah, and even in circles like me, like you had said, like I didn't know Jack, as a white queer man, I didn't know Jacks exist, you know, existed, but it's been around for ages. But then that's an example of privilege of like, because I'm not fetishized for the color of my skin on dating apps, I'm shocked that there have to be alternative modes or that there are preferred alternative modes to meet men.
And so I guess to kind of round things out, I'm wondering for our listeners or our audience, what are some words of advice from you or some no-nos to not say to a person of color, like maybe on a dating app?
Okay. Don't open with specifically complimenting their skin, like the color of their skin. It was like, oh my God, you have great pores. Like what beauty products are you using? Sure, that's a nice way to open, but like comments on like, oh, your beautiful dark chocolate skin and stuff like that, like kind of cheesy things, don't. I'd also say referencing like, oh, I've dated other black guys before. I've dated other Asian guys or other Latin, like just referencing like, you like you've already caught them all. Like it's like people are Pokemon and you're like getting everybody like, stop. Don't make anybody feel like that.
Or also just like some tips if you are in like an interracial relationship, how to better support your partner.
I think just like, listen, like regardless of whether I'm to both partners in either interracial relationships, like just listen to the other person and not like any other relationship, just try and understand what they're going through and love them regardless. I feel as though that's a little like easier. Like, I mean, like that's just more self-explanatory. Like if you want a happy, healthy relationship, there's certain steps you have to take to do that. And if like you're a white person, you're your partner is of color and they're telling you that certain things are making them feel uncomfortable while navigating through the world, especially when navigating through it with you, their white partner, listen to them, like acknowledge, see if there's anything you can actually do to help. And then if you're like the person of color and again, same situation, don't be afraid to like speak up and let your partner know like, hey, these, like, especially if it's like people that they are like are your partner's friends and you're made to feel uncomfortable while being around them, but your partner didn't notice, like bring that up. Like anyone's friends are like a good like representation of themselves. So if your partner's friends are like that and your partner is like just allowing it to happen, especially with you, okay, maybe they didn't notice at first, but you've brought it to their attention several times and it's still like nothing, or your partner is like, oh, that's just how they are. And it's like more so dismissive of your own feelings. And it's like that, I'm not going to say break up with them, but that's something you should really think about. Like, is that something that matters to you?
For more information on how sexuality dictates our lives, you can visit us at www.killerindasweetthing.com and follow us on Instagram at birds.bees. You can visit racialequitytools.org to further educate yourself on white privilege and how each of us can work towards a more equal and inclusive future. This is Pillow Talk.